You're listening to the weekend podcast of Palm Valley Church. We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome, Edinburgh, as well. There is an epidemic in our land of something we want to talk about today. You go to, you don't have to go far. You can go about anywhere and see it displayed in front of you. You can be on our roadways, listen to our political scene, doesn't matter which side. Go to a little league field for sure. And the epidemic is anger. Oh, you don't believe me about little league. Coach your kid's team. You realize you did so many things wrong. There's anger. We're an angry people. It leads to horrible things. Extreme examples, but increasingly more extreme examples, from school shootings to just fights that break out. People just so passionate, and they can't control themselves, they think, and thus that anger just unleashes. And then you've got the angry cowards who hide behind a computer screen, who exhibit their anger, and they say things on comment boards, they say things, they send emails in ways that they would never have the courage to do face to face. We're angry. Well, the Bible has a great deal to say about that, so we're in luck. So we're going to talk about anger today and some biblical principles along that subject. Proverbs 14:29. It says, a patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays his folly or his foolishness. You know, anger, it's a God-given emotion. He gave it to us. It is, in fact, sometimes anger is the most appropriate emotion to some things. When you see people getting hurt, taken advantage of, anger's the most appropriate response. In fact, if you never get angry, it probably means you never loved. Sometimes the loving thing to do is to be angry. But here's the deal, we have to control it. We have to understand that there's limits. Let me illustrate it just with this little prop today. That I have found that in my life, see if this is true with you, that there is this acceptable range of anger. Something happens and you start feeling your blood pressure go up, you start getting a little heated, you get a little upset, and right about here there's a voice that says, okay, don't go any further. It's good. You've made your point. Quit talking. And what we're tempted to do is just move this over a little bit. You ever done that? We're in church, can't lie. By the way, this is one of those messages, just keep looking forward the whole message. Don't look to the right or just keep looking forward, okay? I'm here to help. But we have this acceptable range of anger that we feel like, you know, that is, it's normal. But here's what I've noticed in my life is that when I've pushed this thing over some, on some subjects, on some beliefs, on some people, it is so easy to go back there. Once I've crossed that line, now the acceptable range just got further. And some of you, my prayer today is not to throw any stones, because that would just make you more angry. But to maybe help us realize this, and by identifying it, just pull this back some and figure out how the Lord's going to help us through this. And might I just say, especially if you have teenagers in your home, take good notes. I don't say this often, but this would be a great message to sit down with them and talk about with them. Because teenagers especially, they're clumsy in a lot of ways. They don't know what to do with their hands when they walk. They're just clumsy. But they also don't know how to handle their emotions. And they're discovering emotions, and we could help them handle their anger. So let me give you 6 action steps to help controlling your anger. You ready? It doesn't matter. I'm gonna do it anyway. Number 1, first, Resolve to take action. Admit it, own it. Quit saying you can't control it and start realizing you can. Stop making excuses and accept responsibility for where you're at in this journey. Proverbs 29:11 in the Living Bible, it says it this way: a fool gives full vent to their anger. That's what it says. But a wise man keeps himself under control. A fool just keeps going. A wise man keeps himself under control. You know, anger is an emotion, and like all emotions, we don't think of it this way, but let's stop and just think about this. It can be controlled. All emotions can. And some say, you don't understand, when I get really angry, I just get all worked up, and I can't help myself. I just naturally just go there. Really? You can control your anger far more than you think if you're properly motivated. Let's take a husband and wife, they're at home and they're giving anger full vent. They're just letting it all go. And just then a client, the guy's been working on calls. Hi, oh yeah, yes sir. Yeah, we wanna do that for you. How quickly you can change, or your in-laws show up. Oh, so glad you're here. What a surprise. It's amazing, what happened? You turned it off. You change. It was controllable. Think about this. Think about this. It's an emotion. It can be controlled. Why don't you decide ahead of time and make this resolution that just says, you know what, it is controllable. I can do something about this. I can. Don't wait until the heat of the argument. Don't wait until the temperature reaches a boiling point when your adrenaline is all flushed and then decide, you know, I think I want to control my... It's too late. You look happy today. You're fine. You're thinking somebody else needs this message, which is fine. But this would be a good point just to say, you know what? I'm not just defenseless in this. I can resolve to take action. Number two, remember the cost of uncontrolled anger. You know, Satan, with all of his temptations, whatever it is he's tempting us with, he doesn't ever show us the end result, does he? He doesn't show us the carnage in the wake of people that we've hurt. He never does. On the front end, it just feels good. Let's just do it. Sometimes it just feels, tell them, give them a piece of your mind. You're only revealing you don't have much mind, by the way. Slow down. Remember, when you get that angry, it's going to cost something. Just a sampling from Proverbs 29:22 says, a hot-tempered man gets into all kinds of trouble. Hot tempers, they cause arguments. Anger causes mistakes. People with hot tempers, they do foolish things. It's all true. The point is this, you always lose when you lose your temper. It may cost you the love and the respect of other people. You may lose the love of people you love the most, your children, your husband, your wife. It might cost you your job because of your uncontrolled temper. It certainly will damage your health. There's all kinds of headaches and tension and stomach aches and back aches and neck aches. You always lose when you lose your temper. And by the way, as parents, this is hard because kids are knuckleheads at times and we get frustrated. And oftentimes we're tempted to use anger as the primary motivator in our home to get our children to obey us. We ask them to do something and they don't do it. We ask them a second time, they don't do it. We ask them a third time, and the fourth time we yell and they do it. Why do we use anger? Because it works. In the short term, it does. You can scare people to do almost anything. But remember this, in the end, anger always alienates. Anger always pushes people away from you. It's not attractive. It's not something that says, I want to be around that person. You know, they're just so angry. You've never heard anybody say that. It's not appealing. It's not attractive. It's not your best you. And yet we do it and we don't have a big mirror in front of us and we don't see our face and we don't recognize the tone of our voice and we're not always self-aware. And so it doesn't draw people to you, it pushes them away. Angry at your kids all the time, what are you doing? You're pushing your kids away. It doesn't mean there isn't a time and place where there's an acceptable range of anger, all right? I'm not saying that. But nothing destroys in the long run, nothing destroys a relationship faster and longer than uncontrolled anger. So first, resolve to take action. Remember the cost. Thirdly, reflect before you react. In other words, think before you speak. Don't just respond impulsively. Get your mind in gear before you put your mouth in motion. Look at Proverbs 29:11 in the New English Translation. A stupid man gives free rein to his anger, but a wise man lets it grow cool. Lets it cool down. Something happened. Cool down. Stop. Have you ever noticed you can't put your foot in your mouth if it's closed? Think about it. I mean, after you've pushed it, not in an acceptable range, but after you've gone here, you never feel better. Oh, in the immediate time, you feel like, in the long run, when you put your head on the pillow at night, that is not the person you want to be. It is not the person God created you to be. It's not the purposeful person that God had in mind when he created you. Think about how you felt before you lost your temper. How are you going to feel? Take a few moments. Pause just long enough. You see, because anger is just the warning light. Anger is just the thing that just goes off. There's other things that work deeper down. At least three areas. First is just frustration. It's the number one thing that causes anger out of us. We are frustrated with something. There's situations. And by the way, high control people tend to be high angry people. Because we want to control everything. And fact is, you can't control everything. There is so much of our life that is out of control. Things that we can't, when we're forced to wait, when we're forced to do things, we get frustrated. When the person in front of you, the moment the light turns green, they don't jump like a jackrabbit, it's frustrating. Many years ago, I was invited to speak at a church. The church was in a small town. The pastor had been a friend of mine, and he asked me to come, so I said, sure. And I spoke, and afterwards we went to dinner. And he was telling me over dinner how he had a heart for his city, wanted to expand, wanted to grow. He wanted to see everyone in that city come to know the Lord. And afterwards, he was paying for the meal. I offered to pay. He wouldn't, and he just said, let me do it. And it got awkward because there was a problem. I think he was trying to pay, like, with a check, a church check. Because it was kind of a church ministry meal or something. And he thought, let's just do it. And they wouldn't accept it. And I watched how the conversation began to escalate. Granted, the person on the other side of the counter wasn't being the best customer service person. But the conversation just began to escalate. Bearing in mind, he had just told me how he really hoped to evangelize this whole city and see people come into the knowledge of the Lord. And he got ugly. He got angry. I don't know where his barrier was, but it was way past where I was comfortable with. I'm like, I can pay, please, just let me take care of it. You know, and he went on and on and on. He was frustrated. And I just thought, okay, you're losing your testimony. The name of your church is right there. All these people now are seeing this. It's on full display. You're frustrated and you're not considering what's happening here. Do you follow me? You've totally lost perspective because you're frustrated. Another reason why anger sometimes happens, and let's just think about this, but you're hurt. You're hurt. Something happened. Real. And something, it could have been a long time ago, and you haven't put it all together yet, and there's something deep inside. And if you haven't heard the statement, it's just so true, but hurt people hurt people. Wounded people tend to try and wound others. It's a terrible part of our flesh. But we're hurt physically, emotionally, whatever. And because of our hurt that we haven't got all healed up yet, we haven't figured it out, and now we're taking it out on others. Maybe if we stopped long enough and just recognized, I'm having those thoughts and my blood is boiling right now, not because of that person, but because I got a hurt. It's something in me. And I should just stop. I should go for a walk. I should do anything other than take it out on this other human being because I'm hurt. There's frustrations, there's hurts, there's fears. You know, a lot of wild animals or a snake, they're not just going to attack you, but if you corner them, they will attack. And we're the same way. When we feel fearful, when we feel insecure, when things, we just feel like and anger is just, humans are no different, and we go on attack. And so maybe it's good. If you've been struggling with anger and you just feel like I've been moving that thing over. Are you hurt? Are you just frustrated? Have you been in such a high control environment and now you're just frustrated because you can't control everything and you just can't? And you need to stop and recognize, okay, there's a deeper source for this anger. Number four, we have to learn to release our anger appropriately. I love what it says in Ephesians 4. Those of you who struggle with anger, you're like this one. Be angry. Just do not sin. Yeah, there's a time, there's a place. There is an acceptable line of anger. But there's a voice, there's a warning light that says, don't go further, it's sin. Be angry, just don't sin. God got angry, gets angry. God gets angry when he sees injustice in the world, when he sees racism, when he sees rich people exploit poor people. He gets angry when he sees the abuse of women or children, somebody murdered carelessly. He gets angry when he sees broken homes because it just hurts people and people are hurt. He gets angry at this. Jesus got angry several times, twice. In fact, he made a whip himself and came into the temple and cleared it out. He got angry. Well, Romans 12 gives us some wisdom here. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Don't do it. Never avenge yourself. Leave that to God. And can I just insert here, who's better at avenging, you or God? He's much better. Let him do it. Some of you are like, oh Lord, I give that one to you. Do your best work. Never avenge yourself. Leave that to God. Overcome evil with good. I mean, there's a lot of ways people express their anger. There's a lot of improper ways. Some people suppress it. They're really dealing with it, but they don't let it out and they suppress it and it becomes toxic. And it just, it's like drinking poison. You're hurting yourself. Others just repress it, which means they deny it. They act like something didn't happen. You ask them about this thing that happened. Oh no, it was fine. It was fine. And it wasn't fine. And here's the deal. That eventually will come out in some way. You ask somebody who's repressing their anger and you say, are you angry? No, I'm not angry. You're like, obviously. And then others just express their anger in all the wrong ways. And there's so many weapons of choice, and some of us are good at many of these. Some of you, you know what this one is. Your weapon of choice when you're angry is sarcasm. Oh, you're good at it. You're so good with words. You just get ticked off in the slightest way, and your tongue comes out and just slashes people. Some of you don't do that. You're far more superior than that. You're a manipulator. You make battle plans that would make General Patton jealous. You connive and you think about the downfall of your enemy. Others of you, you just spew like Mount St. Helens. You just spew out of your mouth comes a rage with such intensity, it scars and burns everyone in your wake around you. In fact, your family system is built around you, that when you're in that way, everyone just avoids you. You don't even realize it, but they're totally onto your game. They know how it works. They just don't wake up grumpy. Others, you're a martyr. When you're angry, everyone knows you're upset. Everyone knows you're mad, and you just go into a quiet place, and everyone has to walk on eggshells around, and you manipulate by your silence. But it's anger. You're not dealing properly with what's happening, whatever it is. All of these are poor examples. What should you do? You should confess it. You should properly come before God and talk to him. God, these are my emotions. This is what I feel. You should, if you're in a marriage relationship, you should go to your spouse, your husband, your wife, and you should talk to them and just say, this is what I'm feeling. And in that point, they don't need a sermon, ladies and gentlemen. They just need to listen. They just need someone to listen to them. Let them vent. Let them get it out. It ought to be safe. You can tell me. Talk. Just let it out. Before you take it out unnecessarily in other places, just let's talk. But you confess it. Probably about 10 years ago, there was a weekend that, for whatever reason, Terry happened to be out of town. Our boys, Riley was the oldest. He was probably in high school. And through the weekend, I was speaking that weekend. I was working, so I was finishing up the message, probably on God's love or something. And I was growing frustrated because I could hear them bickering and fighting in the other room. And just, I don't like any raised voices, to be honest, in the house. And there was some raised voices. So I'd yell out, hey, knock it off. It's acceptable. Well, throughout the morning, as I'm working on a message for you people, It's clearly your fault. I got frustrated, and I got to this point, and a little voice said, I think you've made your point, stop. And I heard something else. I don't even remember what I did or said. I'm sure it was nothing criminal. I'm sure. But I was angry. And the little voice said, stop. We finished the weekend. Terry came home Sunday night. How'd it go? Oh, it was great. It was kids. They practically parent themselves. Monday morning, they were heading off to school, and Riley came by my study. I was in there. And he's the oldest. And I said, Riley, come here. And he came in, and I must have directed my harshest words for him. And I said, Riley, I'm sorry for what happened on Saturday. I yelled at you. And he looked at me and he goes, Dad, we're idiots. Now, personally, I was very glad that he knew that, that smart kid. He was giving me all the break. He said, we deserved it. We were being horrible. And I said, well taken. Glad you know that. But I need to apologize because I pushed it too far. And I shouldn't have said those things or whatever happened. How hard was that? I didn't want him to go to school that day thinking there was anything between me and him. I didn't want him to go another minute, maybe wondering about his father's love. Realizing that I have the power to provide tremendous security around him or insecurity. I wanted to write that. And he was very gracious to me. If you don't learn to release your anger properly, it'll build up and eventually it'll explode. The next point I think is so important for long-term change, and some of you need to hear this so well. Number five, you have to repattern your mind. True change happens not exteriorly, but interiorly, by our mind. Christ comes and he does a deep work within us. Romans 12:2 talks about the change that we should be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That's what he does. He changes the way we think. You're acting angry, you're feeling angry because you're thinking angry thoughts. And if you want to change the way you feel, the way you act, you have to change the way you think. You have to begin to fill your mind with the Word of God. And we forget, God's Word is powerful. You didn't hear me, but it's still true. God's Word is so powerful to transform us, to change us. Something happens when you read it, when you memorize it. God's Word does that. It changes your mind. Prayer changes the way we think. You will never stay angry towards somebody you pray for. I'm not talking about praying down fire. When you begin to pray for them, you can't stay mad at them. God has given us weapons spiritually that's going to change us on the inside to help us with our anger. And by the way, did you know anger is contagious? You get around angry people, you'll tend to become angry. If a child grows up in a home full of anger, they're going to learn this is a proper way of dealing with things. And they're going to start with that thing so far away because they just know that's how you deal with things. That's how you... Listen to what Proverbs 22:24 says. Keep away from angry, short-tempered people, or you'll learn to be like them. Also, can I just say pastorally, beloved, if you're dating, you're engaged to an angry person, break up with them. Look at the scripture again. Keep away from angry, short-tempered person. You think it's going to get better? That has to get dealt with. That needs to get managed. Otherwise, the cycle of abuse and hurt, and they're going to become experts at apologizing. You ought to wait. The good news is, we don't have to stay in this place of anger. The good news is that the Lord and his Holy Spirit helps us pull this back. And if you've been abusing it and you've been pushing that thing out, you find yourself just this acceptable range of rage has just been moved. Number six, rely on God's control and it can change. There's hope here, friends. This message reaches all of us one way or another. All of us, some days are different than others. Some days, something that doesn't bother us on another day, that day just gets us. We all deal with this in different ways. We still have a flesh, this lower nature, it struggles to dominate. I get it. But some of you have a bigger issue than occasional anger. You're an angry person. And as Christians, we may get angry, but anger shouldn't dominate our lives. There should be enough joy. There should be enough peace, enough of the Holy Spirit, that anger just doesn't take over us anymore. Self-control, I remind you, is a fruit of the Spirit. There's no way you can change this lifelong pattern of inappropriate anger, pushing the boundaries constantly just by saying, you know, I'm going to do that. I've decided I'm just going to do this. Colossians 3:15, we're going through Colossians in our midweek services. Gerald's doing an amazing Bible study. You should hear it. Unbelievable. And he's going to hit chapter 3 starting this week. Let the peace of Christ rule your hearts. Let the peace of Christ rule your relationship to Christ will determine how patient you are. And the more he controls your life, the more patient you're going to be. Here's what I know. When I'm angry, when I'm impatient and unkind to others, it's always a sign that I have forgotten what he has done for me. How patient he's been for me. How is it that I can't bear other people's issues and problems when I think about what he's tolerated and how his patience have been with the crimes that I've committed against his holiness? When I reflect on those things, Colossians 3:15 is easy. Yeah, let the peace of Christ rule and reign in your heart. See, in that moment, the problem isn't my mouth, the problem is my heart. And sometimes we say unkind things, we say hurtful things, and then we'll say, I don't know what got into me. I don't know, that it's not me. Oh yeah, it is, it's exactly you. Because out of here just reveals what's going on in here. Bible makes that so clear. If you have an encouraging mouth, you're revealing you have a happy heart. If you have a gentle mouth, you're revealing you have a loving heart. On the other hand, if you have an overactive mouth, you're revealing your heart is not at peace, you're confused. If you have a negative mouth, you're revealing you have a fearful, hurt heart. You're always criticizing people with your mouth, you're revealing you have a bitter heart. If you have a filthy mouth, spewing vulgar ideas, profanities, you're revealing you have an impure heart. What is inside of you is going to come out. And what you really need is not a little bit of anger management. What you need is a heart transplant. And that only comes through the saving grace of Jesus Christ. That's what he does. He takes a heart of stone and he makes it a heart of flesh. David in the Old Testament, man after God's own heart. He did so many things wrong, but he was a man after God's own heart. And in his prayer of repentance in Psalm 51, he says those amazing words, create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a steadfast spirit. And sometimes that's the prayer we need to pray. Just create in me a clean heart, oh God. Create in me a clean heart. Jesus can deal with all the root issues that are causing your anger. Maybe you were rejected as a child or even as an adult. Maybe you were abandoned or abused, unloved, felt lonely. I want you to know your pain matters to God. He cares. He cares about what's going on, and he wants to deal with it. He wants to heal you from your innermost. Create in me a clean heart, whatever it takes. And we invite him to walk up and down the corridors of our heart and just say, Lord, show us what you see and heal us. He makes all things new. By the way, also, if your anger and your words have caused pain to others, if those that you love even, you've gotten to that place, that stopping point, and you have pushed back, I want you to know there is power in your words and your actions. There's power in the negative, but there's also power in the positive. Go out on a limb. Do what I had to do, and I've had to do many times, where you call someone in and you just say, I can see that I've upset you. I'm sorry. No explanation. No, well, the reason I did it, well, you know, no. I'm sorry. I hurt you. apologize. There's power in that. There's power in that. There's strength in that. And the last thought, it doesn't have so much to do with this message, but throughout the week, I just couldn't get away from this verse. Proverbs 18, verse 10. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous, they run in and they're safe. Especially to those of you that have been hurt. You're wondering how you could ever correct or right the wrongs of the things that you've done. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous, they run in and they're safe. Let's pray together. As David prayed, so do we pray, Lord. Create in us a clean heart, O God. Lord, for those that have just really been battling this, I pray they don't just feel outed or exposed today, but I pray for the hope that is found in Christ just to revive us, to strengthen us. I pray for divine conversations to happen after this service. The courage to apologize, maybe even to stay in this room if need be, and not be even in a hurry to leave, and just say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's not going to right every wrong. It's not going to fix all the problems. But Lord, it is a step towards healing and restoration, which is your heart. You redeem us. You restore us. So God, your name is a strong tower. And we run to you, and may we be safe. Thank you, Jesus. And everyone said, God bless. You're dismissed.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Don't miss out on next week's teaching. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and keep up to date with what's happening at palmvalleychurch.com.